Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. The promise of our God, dear friends, in Christ Jesus. This evening, the word of God for us to consider is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, reading verses 51 through 57. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will all be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. These are the words of our God. Dear friends in the risen Lord Jesus, the man had worked 35 years before an injury changed his life. He sat in his pickup truck in the growing dawn at the backside of a truck stop along I-43. The local police seem to know his plight, and they tend to just leave him alone. But he's always ready, if he has to turn the key and move his truck. The local church had helped him quite a bit and kept him out of the worst of the cold over that winter. The preacher still came. And they sit down and they talk about their Jesus. And they read his word. The man believes in Jesus as his Savior, and he wants to believe that his God is a big enough God, well, to help. But his body is sore from sleeping so many nights in the front seat of a pickup truck rather than on a mattress. He's so often cold, and the March sun only helps so much. A hot shower would feel good, but the closest one he can afford is 20 miles away, and he has to ration his gas. There are nights that he prays to God for God to just take him home to end his life, but every day he awakes with the first light of the sun, and he draws a deep breath to face the day. And his eyes soar heavenward, and he says, Father, is there a cure for this place? The young woman stared at the headstone. October 1st, 1988, to March 3rd, 2018. In the growing darkness, she realizes that it's her 29th day in a row coming to his grave. The grass will grow soon, and, well, the cemetery staff would put sod over the raw earth. But the grass will not cover the hard pain of the last months. They had been hard. He had languished. But oh, with the hope of heaven. He had been her strength on so many days when she should have been his, and she has felt guilty ever since. Jesus' cross beneath his name had been their strength. But so many evenings during her visits, her eyes filled with tears, her soul had cried out to heaven and said, Father, is he really the cure for this place? My friends, do you see it? Do you see that the victory is ours? Verse 50, ahead of our text, is key for our discussion from God's word this evening as we are outside the empty tomb. Paul writes to us, "I declare to you, brothers and sisters, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable." I asked a moment ago, do you see it, the victory? Let's back up a moment and ask a different question that seems most appropriate. Do you see it, our dilemma? Do you see our problem? We cannot go to heaven as we are mortal. For what is dying cannot inherit what is only living. Change is needed. And can you and I even imagine the change that is coming? We know the dilemma, at least in part. Death has brought down the greatest in history. The greatest of empires of men have fallen, and all will eventually lie in the dust. The greatest minds have sought to solve the problem, addressing the symptoms of sin and delaying its progress. But in the end, death still always wins, and those great minds go away. And our turn will come one day. Joshua stated it very well in his Old Testament farewell to the people of Israel after they had conquered the land of Canaan. He said, "I am very old. You yourselves have seen everything the Lord your God has done to all these nations for your sake. But now I am about to go the way of all the earth. And Joshua, son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died at the age of 110. And they buried him in the land of his inheritance." Death, you and I know. Joshua called it the way of all the earth. But have we pondered the need for things to change? Leaving behind sin and death and a life cursed by sin. We cannot go into heaven as we are, Paul states. Mortality, death, and decay cannot exist in the presence and in the holiness and in the justice of our Creator God. Change is needed for this flesh and blood. Now, how often do you and I ponder the amazing gift from God that is our faith? Have you pondered life without faith? Now, some of us here this evening might be almost thinking out loud, "Oh, Pastor, you do not know that I know what it is like to live without faith, and I do not want to go back. It is an empty place. It is a hopeless place. It is a scary place." Without faith, our lives could be dominated every day by raw emotion. This just cannot be. Why do we have to die? If there is a God, I think he is a cruel God and evil to create us and put us in a world with seemingly no cure. We work our tails off for decades. And then we retire to die. Some of us die because of our work. Some of us die as soon as we quit work. Where is the justice? Where is the hope of this place? My hopes and dreams were once as big as the world, and now they're as small as Muskego or the rooms of my apartment where I live. Even no faith recognizes that something has to change. But it is God's gift of faith alone that allows you and me to see the change truly needed. Listen, Paul wrote, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised, not able to die, and we will be changed. For the mortal must clothe itself with immortality. Now I know that I have asked you a similar question before, but I will ask it again in a different way. If you could pick your superpower, what would it be? The laser vision of Superman, but then what would you do without the rest of his powers if you just knew what was coming but couldn't do anything about it? How about Spider-Man, the web flinger? Hoping to be ahead of the person who could figure out how to zap your webs as fast as you could zing them. And how about Captain America with that really cool magical shield? Until gravity pulls it away from you, and then what do? And last I knew, at least the last movie I went to, Superman died. And dirt filled the hole where they put him. Now, maybe you have never had a conversation about superpowers. Maybe that's just me, but think about it for a moment. Why is it that almost no one ever comes up with immortality? I want to be immortal. That'd be cool. My guess is that for some of us, when we're healthy, we don't think about immortality. And then if we've lived enough life, then we really don't want to be immortal anymore. We just want to go to heaven. And maybe it's that we really can't comprehend what immortality would be like. We can't imagine it. What will immortality look like? What will it feel like? How will we act when we are immortal? Well, I think our faith, connected with God's word, can begin to comprehend the action. We will be without sin inside our very natures, that bent inside of us, that pull in us, that wants to take advantage of you and seeks to get from you in spite of you, rather than to have the attitude of heart that will say in heaven, how can I serve you today? Imagine how excellent that will be. That all people will love us just as we always love and serve them. An immortal body, free from the threat every day of death, free from the aches and pains, the inherent weakness, a mind free of the shadow of depression or the darkness of anxiety. A spirit unafraid of death because death isn't even a concept. Death isn't even in the picture. You see, in a very small way, our faith sees the way of heaven that will trump forever the way of the earth. Do you see it? His victory? Our victory? Sometimes it is hard to see the what when we aren't exactly certain of the how. Let me give you an example from history. Think World War II. A historian once said that Adolf Hitler never would have lost the war if he just could have put an iron lid on Europe. But someone had the vision of paratroopers and enough landing ships and more ships and planes than the world had ever seen to create a vision of what could be and bring about the impossible. On a much grander and more meaningful scale, Easter is just that. Someone saw and heard ahead of time Our cry, the cry of his people, is there a cure for this place? Did you not promise it? And he answers daily our cry with the gift of his Son, the greatest gift I have ever given. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Dear friends, you and I know that our problem is real. I believe the graves have stayed shut as long as I have been alive. Paul reminds us that the root cause is sin, that spiritual venom that kills. For the law of God had said, the day you eat, you will surely die. And the law of God says that sin is not like a virus that we might catch. Sin is something we inherit from our parents as surely as the color of our skin. And so Jonas Salk, a really smart guy, treated some of sin's symptoms, and polio is almost gone. Louis Pasteur gave us safer milk and vaccinations that have changed our world and caused great debate today. And a guy named Alexander Fleming discovered penicillin in 1928, and the world has never been quite the same. But with all that, the graves remain closed. And new ones are dug every day. You see, you and I need a gift that is more real than the sin and the death and the darkness. So the Spirit says to us today, welcome to Easter. Do you see it? The victory is yours. In the history of the world, there was only one hero for mankind whose grave you will not truly find, whose bones you can never unearth, whose images are never put up as a memorial or a monument to him, because Jesus Christ, the Son of Man and the Son of God, took on the law of God. You shall and you shall not, or you shall die, and he kept it perfectly for us to take away its sting. Christ took on sin and overcame its curse by suffering hell so that we would not have to. And then Jesus Christ, when everything else was said and done, took on the grave. And leaving it alive after doing his laundry, folding it up so that we would know that he had left totally in control of it all. You see, all graves remain shut for now except for one. And there is the magic, there is the mystery of Easter. The Spirit says this, Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Do we have any farmers among us this evening? Any master gardeners? Is there anybody who has zucchini coming out of their ears come late August into September, October, and maybe even November? What are first fruits? First fruits are the best, but they are also the sign that there is more to come, God willing. And it is God's will for us that you and I follow the way of our Savior. That Easter is not just about him. Easter is really all about us. Our graves will one day open because his did. True change will one day come for us all, dead or alive, because you see, there is a cure for this place. But what impact does Easter have on our personal walk of faith each day? What influences your day more, death and its sting, or the more real promise of Easter's gift of life? Which statement on the screen best fits who you want to be and your approach to living? Joshua once said, I am about to go the way of all the earth. Choice A. Or choice B. I am about to be gathered to my people. Jacob. Now, both of our spiritual forefathers had reasons to phrase it this way. However, I would lobby for letter B. Letter A is reality. It is real. It is sobering. It is thought-provoking. But I'm about to be gathered to my people. Letter B is more real, because Jesus' victory over the grave guarantees our victory over the grave because of his victory over sin and death. And his victory adds hope to our faith and to our vision and gives us the smell and the taste of victory. I know that my Redeemer lives, we'll sing in a moment. What comfort this sweet sentence gives. Easter tells us that church is not a weekly support group for weak-minded people who just can't get their act together, but it's a foretaste of heaven. And the family that will gather around the living and loving King, body and soul, imperishable, in the presence of the King, the graves will open. Do you see it? Because the victory is ours. The young woman turned away from the grave for the 29th time. But for the first time, she actually felt in her heart the emotion and the joy and the hope of her God settling her emotions. For you see, it was Easter. And he had said to her that day, "Whoever believes in me will live, even though he dies, and we will be gathered to our people." And so she went home in peace. The man in the truck, he is probably awake right now in his truck. With the joy of Easter in his heart, he may be here tomorrow to spend time with his family in Jesus Christ. And the preacher still ponders how best to share the eternal blessings of a loving God with a man in earthly struggle. Is there a cure for this place? Do you see it? Let us ponder, my friends, how to live it and how to share it. Amen. Please stand.